tomato farmers on the mountains in trouble. But what I was told is they're not big enough, Jeff, to make a difference. But because the big boys know they're in trouble, they will raise the price on tomatoes they ship in and get their fair share. Amen. It's all about money. All about money. All right. Y'all ready? Let's turn to page 183. 183. John 3:16 at ball games and stuff of that nature, but it never done anything for me. But on December 2nd, 1984, at Mount Calvary Baptist Church, the night I went down to an old-fashioned altar and repented of my sins and asked Jesus to save me, John 3:16 meant something. I finally comprehended the love of God. And you know, this song here is not sung much in our churches anymore, but you know, we ought to fall in love with Jesus afresh every day. He loves us so much. He gave the ultimate sacrifice to give me life. And man, we just all love him, shouldn't we? You know, he's probably the only person that ever deserves love. Just think about that. Probably the only one that ever deserves love. We do not deserve to be loved, but he does. Because he gave it all, amen? All right, you glad you're here? And we trust that we're going to have a great month this month. Amen. We started a new month. This is we got Juneteenth coming up this month as a holiday. Y'all know about Juneteenth, don't you? Amen. Isn't this the month, Pride Month? Amen. I've thought about moving my birthday. Amen. Used to you had June brides, and now all they talk about is garbage. Amen. And June used to be a good month. Amen. I'm not into all that the world has to do. God's good to us. He loves us. Amen. And we're so thankful that you're here. And God's been good to us this week. Amen. We could have it a whole lot worse than we have it. And I know there's a lot to pray about. Maybe if we started praying, God wouldn't give us so much to pray about. You ever think like that? Amen. All right. We're going to go ahead and pray and ask God's blessings upon this service. And Brian, will you open us in prayer?
We praise the Heavenly Father. It's going to be an hour, Lord. It's going to be first chance to come here to your house, Lord. Come here and worship you once again, Lord, and sing praises to you, Jesus. Thank you for all those that are ready to make it today, Lord. And pray for all those who are not able to be here today, Lord. Lord, we know that. We're just going to lift up all those in prayer requests that we have this morning, Lord, and know what needs to be done in our lives. And we just have to stay. Pray for the upcoming service that will be a blessing to us, and that you will strengthen and pray for the mic, so that you can bring the message to place in the heart, Jesus.
Sing all three verses. Effects of sin, doesn't he? And the just shall live by faith. And sometimes it's hard when our eyes get involved. And we try to reason things out and try to figure things out instead of trust him, okay? Let's not forget our tithes and offerings to give as God has prospered us. Amen. We do not do cake sales, bake sales, raffles, and all kind of other stuff. We depend on God's people to give as God has told us to. And that's enough. Always has been here. Always will be. And so do not forget that. Do not forget the penny march, which goes to Gulf Coast Prison Ministries. People in jail need Christ too. Amen. Somebody told me, you know, well, that's a good place for a mission work. Well, there's not a bad place. Okay, not a bad place. There may be some hard places, but there's not a bad place to do missions. Okay? All right. How many of you believe he's worthy to be praised? Let's go to 164. We're going to sing Fanny Crosby's song, The Blind Poet. All three verses. Thank you.
memory lane of past not long ago. Oh, Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along life's way. He said, you're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secret that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell? The old accuser, and this was my reply. You're right for all the things I've done. I truly deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I. Again, He washed my stains and sinful past, and He brought new life within. No longer will I bear the mark that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say it's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I.
If you will, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I hope that we can get most of it in. My heart is burdened for the condition that we're in. When we had Dr. Smith in April, me and him talked about the lack of preacher boys in the churches now. We talked about the lack of people surrendering to go to the mission field. And the list goes on and on. We're in trouble in America. We're in trouble in America. Our only hope is God. That's our only hope. And the only way we're going to find God is get back to His Word. And that's in the King James Bible. Amen. No modern version is going to bring revival. There's the only revival it's ever been in America so far has been with the King James Bible. Amen. And it's been a long time since America's had revival. The catch is we got to want it more than we want anything else. Our forefathers paid a price. We like it comfortable. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3. You there? Say amen. One verse for the sake of time. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctification is more than being set apart from something. It is also to set to something. Getting rid of things in our life that shouldn't be there is not enough. You got to separate yourself unto the Lord. He is enough. He is the only one that can fill our hearts with what needs to be filled with. Amen. We're to sanctify Him in our hearts, and we're to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Peter is saying here we need to have some answers. And to have answers, you got to spend time with God. My greatest battle is time with God. That's my greatest battle. My greatest enemy is myself. My greatest weakness is my flesh. I want to preach on the thought of the collapse of fundamentalism. The collapse of fundamentalism. We're to be ready always to give an answer to every man of the hope that's within us. We have a hope. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have a hope. You ought to be able to tell somebody about the hope that's within you. And it's not going to work unless we have Scripture. Okay, the Bible is a very, very important book. It's often forsaken. It's often taken for granted. I wonder how many of us would enjoy having to go through life if you didn't have a copy of that Bible. Just think about that. Amen. And my books that I've got packed up, Brother David's got some books there. In there I have a few, not many, of my Bibles that I am sending to Africa because they are pastors in Africa and some of them don't even have a Bible. And if they do have a Bible, they don't have a good Bible. Over the years, I've had the privilege, when we started this church and our internet ministry was doing good, there were 10 national pastors we sent stuff to every year. We would send Bibles. Every year, the church would buy Bibles and send. Every year we'd get tracts and send. We always tried to send 500 Bibles, 50,000 tracts to 10 national pastors in Africa. over there, there was a black market on Bibles that people would give a month's salary for a Bible. Just think about that. And I would go to the thrift stores regularly and I would purchase books that I thought were sound doctrinally and would send them to the pastors because they didn't have them. Then the mail got so high that we could not afford to send them. The stuff we were sending was less than the postage. And so I am thankful that this time I will be able to send some, not a majority, but some of my library that will go over there, and that while being dead, I'll still be speaking. And that is my heart's desire. Me and my wife talked about it extensively. And I still have some books. I don't know how long I have here, but after I'm dead and gone, them books will still be helping preachers that'll read them. I used to buy them and give to American preachers, young men, and I found out they wouldn't read them. And a book is no good if you don't read it and use it. Amen. And that is the beginning of the collapse of fundamentalism. Let's pray. Lord, I need your help. And Lord, you know my heart is burdened for our nation. We're spiritually dead in America. We need a revival. Lord, I'm not sure we're willing to pay the price for revival. But I ask that you would stir our hearts back to old time religion, back to the old time way. And I ask God that you would let us leave here a different people. Give us a burden like you have. How you cared for men so much that you left heaven to come to earth to die for our sins. I pray your will be done, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. When we think about churches today, my wife was telling me, Dr. Gibbs, I couldn't remember what she said, how many churches are closing in America? You remember how many it was, Dr. Gibbs said? I looked it up, and since 2019, they're averaging 1,000 churches a year closing in America. 1,000 a year. How many of y'all think that's a lot of churches to close? As small as we are here, how many churches do we know have been a part of, preached in, taught in, that have closed? It has been many in our area. That's not a good thing. Our area is not better. We're worse than we've ever been. Our county is not a spiritual county. It is a sin-cursed county. The Southern Baptists, which we are not a part of, lost 1,200 churches last year. 1,200. Not all the churches closed. Some pulled out of the convention, and rightly so. But it was churches that no longer affiliated with the Southern Baptist movement. Our country is in trouble. Let me ask you this. How far would you have to drive to go to a fundamental church? Think about that. A solid Bible preaching church, how far would you have to drive? Brother Tim has thought about He has told me, he said, I guess I would have to drive to Springville from Goodwater because there's not any between here and there. It's becoming further and further away, less and less, because people do not want the fundamentals of the faith. People want to be entertained. I have in front of me a flyer that was left at Co-op. The date on the flyer was May 3rd. I did not go. On the flyer is the St. Clair County Cowboy Church. They were having a ranch sorting. I guess they were going to sort the sheep from the goats, Brother David. Don't know if they had any sheep at all. Concessions available. Now here's what it says. I'm not making this up. Books open at 8:30 a.m. I don't know what that means, but in my mind, I'm thinking negative. When I think of books opening, Jeff, I'm thinking about gambling. Okay. Sorting starts at 10. There's a $20 a run with a maximum of 5 runs. There's a $15 one-time cattle charge. You can only run with the same partner one time. And there's a 70% payback. That sounds like a church, doesn't it? Amen. On the back of it, I wrote down that on the church around here, they had a sign up, Boston Butts, $40. Amen. The average church today has a coffee shop. We have coffee, we don't charge. Amen. They have a coffee shop. Many of them have a cafeteria where you can buy your own lunch. Amen. One church I read about, which went apostate, has its own playground where people can come even during church services and play on the playground without going to church. That one time was a citadel of fundamentalism. There's been a collapse of the old time way. What happened in the 1950s is now happening to fundamental Baptist churches. It is because we've left the doctrine of biblical separatism. And that doctrine has been spewed out of the mouths of people for a very long time. The Bible is no longer the sole authority for faith and practice. We mentioned this in Sunday school. You don't hear people say the Bible says anymore. You hear them say, I feel, I think, I believe. Or that's what the Bible means to me. A vast majority of churches, even in our area, use many different translations to prove what they believe. I don't know, but I'd say there's probably very few churches in the Springville area that take a stand on just the King James Bible. I don't know that for a fact, but I wouldn't think there were many. I knew when I took Pearl Lake that they told me we're King James Bible Church. That's all we use. And Brother David, when I went in and was looking at the buildings, I found 54 new King James Bibles. And I took them to the deacon and said, I believe you failed in your job. He said, what are we going to do with them? I said, trash belongs in the dumpster. This is your rules, not mine. You said we're King James only. If we are, let's get rid of them. Come on now. Amen. Now, we do have churches that use the King James, but they're not taking a stand against any of the other translations. You can't be for something if you're not against something. Come on now, it's how to say amen. Independent Baptist churches at one time was the largest and the most aggressive churches in America. Today it's been replaced by apathy and apostasy. Harold Okinja, who claimed to have coined the term neo-evangelicalism in 1948, we've been battling this thing for a long time. By the way, all of the great people we hold as preachers, they all came out in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Lester Roloff graduated from Baylor University. Wonder what he'd think now. Amen. Dr. Seitler, one of my heroes, pulled out of the convention. Dr. Lee Robertson left the convention, pastoring in Birmingham, Alabama, and he left to go to Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He coined the term, and he defined it as this, a rejection of separatism. In other words, we're not going to hold to that doctrine. We're going to hold anything goes. And I want to say we're living in that dispensation. What doesn't go in churches in America? I would love for us, when we get our new projector and all that, to show some of the videos that David Cloud has about the church music. And he has videos in America, church music, they're singing Highway to Hell in America in churches. We can't fathom that. One video he had on there, at a church, they were singing a song, Sympathy for the Devil. Now, I'd love for us to see that, see how far we have gone in America. We're talking about the collapse of fundamentalism. Here's what he said. We repudiate the come-outist movement, which brands all denominations as apostate. We expect to be positive in our emphasis, except where error so exists that it is necessary for us to point it out in order to declare the truth. In other words, we're going to make all the decisions on what to do. That's taking God right out of the picture. That is the Laodicean church as a whole. The leaders of the bigger churches, the modern movements, have said about fundamentalism, we will not get the old-time fundamentalist. We won't get all their children, but we're going to get your grandchildren. And you better fight for your grandkids. Let me ask you, what kind of church are they going to attend in 15 years in America? I never dreamed I'd see the church where it's at in my life. There was a time when the people of God were different from the people of the world. Today, the church has attempted to blend in with the world and give the world what it wants. I was sent a video, and I watched this, Paul Washer. By the way, he is a Southern Baptist in Alabama. Here's what he said. Brothers, have you studied history? If I could put into a nutshell evangelicalism and apostate Roman Catholicism, and he said, notice I did not say the Roman church because I have never believed it was a church. But if I were to draw a distinction, this is what you would see. Roman Catholicism didn't care about the truth at all. It would go into a culture and like a whore would paint its face any way it had to paint its face. If it means adapting to some pagan god or some pagan ritual or say or do whatever it had to do to reach the people. Then the Reformation came along and said no. Sola Scriptura, Latin for the Bible alone. The Bible alone. That's what fueled the Reformation, period. We will not build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel. But look at what is being done in evangelicalism. Just open your eyes and look what is being done. Even the so-called conservatives and evangelicals, look what is being done. Find out about the culture. Find out about the culture. Find out about the culture. Do everything you can. Stop worrying about the culture. Let's find out about God. Let's find out about the Scriptures. Find out what God says in the Bible and just do it. Do what He says. You know what that's like? It's like a bunch of little boys playing army, because it's a lot easier to get a tattoo on your arm. It's a lot easier to look cool. It's a lot easier to open a coffee shop than to fast for 2 weeks till the power of God falls down on a place. And to study 8 hours a day until you think your brain is going to melt. That is what men of God do. That is why people are called men of God. We used to say, thus saith the Lord. Now the latest poll says, spend time with God. The collapse of fundamentalism. Dr. David Cloud gives 12 reasons for the collapse of fundamentalism in his book. Number one, lukewarmness, unholiness, and worldliness. We're in a dispensation that feels good where they're at. We live in a society that want a church to tell them they're good where they're at. That's what we want. By the way, we all want that. But we don't necessarily need that. Lukewarmness. How does Jesus feel about lukewarmness? He said, I'll spew you out. You make me sick. The second thing he mentioned was biblical shallowness. This is the weakest society there's ever been in the Bible. And by the way, everybody has a Bible just about. In America. Number three on the collapse, the maligning of warning and reproof. Do not warn and do not reprove. I don't know how many times people have told me don't name names. What's wrong with naming names? Paul did. Amen. If a restaurant was making people sick, would you want me to name the name or just tell you not to eat out? You want the name, don't you? Name names. By the way, if you don't name names, you're not really preaching. Number four, lack of prayer. Lack of prayer. I mean, are we really praying? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Number five, unquestioning loyalty to man. We don't need loyalty to man. We need loyalty to God. Amen. We have an unquestionable loyalty to man. Amen. Number six, following the crowd. Everybody's doing it. Amen. I told one time when he told me that, I said, if everybody's jumping off a bridge, would you go jump? Well, no, that'd be stupid. I said, everybody's doing it. Amen. Most of America's taking drugs. That make me want to take drugs? No. Following the crowd. By the way, straight's the gate and narrow's the way, and few there be that find it. Number seven, pragmatism and big-mindedness. If it works, let's do it. Pretty good stuff here. Number eight, ignorance about important issues. Ignorance about important issues. Y'all think there's ignorance about homosexuality in our churches today? We live in a country that believes that boys ought to be able to do girl sports. I'm going to tell you, how bad is it gone? Ignorance about important issues. Soft separatism. We no longer have a desire to be different. We have a desire to fit in. Lack of serious discipleship. It's almost impossible now to disciple people in the church because people are so undependable. Y'all figured out that when most people tell you something, it don't mean anything anymore. Number 11, carelessness about music. Well, I like it. Well, it's not about you. It's really not. It's about Him. And He tells us what to say. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Amen. There's nothing modest, there's nothing scriptural about a guy with long hair singing rock and roll in a church because people like it. Amen. Number 12, and this has killed the independent Baptist, quick prayerism. Do you want to go to heaven? Yeah. Then pray this prayer. Okay, now what? You're saved. I had a lady one time, I was going into a place, this years and years ago, and she was coming out with a lady. I was actually going to teach. I was not called to preach then, and I was going to be teaching there, and the goal was for me to teach every day I was off. I was off on Monday. And to go and teach a Sunday school class. And so I said, I don't know what I'm getting into or anything else. It was not at a church. It was at a Christian ministry. And my first lesson was going to be on the new birth. I figured I can't go wrong there. Okay? And so I go in, and I'm going down the hallway, and the director of the mission says, "Hey, Brother Mike, good to see you. We're so glad you come. We've got great news, and we're starting out really good here." And I said, "Okay, that's good, because I'm scared to death. I'd never taught anything like that, Brian." And she said, she pointed to that other woman and said, tell Brother Mike what just happened. And I said, "Well, what happened?" And she looked at the person that was over the home and said, "What happened?" She said, "You just got saved." And I said, "Really? You just got born again and you don't even know what happened?" I don't know. Do any of y'all have a problem with that other than me? I may not have been able to explain what happened to me, but something had happened and I knew that something had happened in my life. Quick prayerism has destroyed America. I got an email from a guy the other day wanting us to support his ministry. They've had 6 million converts. I'm like, "You ain't coming through here." Amen. You think I believe that? No. Amen. I don't even believe all the ones we support in Africa, seeing all the ones saved they say is saved. I don't. But I believe there's a lot of pressure put on people, especially in the mission work, to have results. Well, it don't look good if nobody got saved. Come on now. People say, "Well, in Africa it's different." Africa had the gospel before America. Now, we've gave you the introduction on the collapse of fundamentalism. I'm going to give you just a few points. This is going to be my preaching. Everything's been introduction. Number one, we need to get back to the new birth. The new birth. Man is a sinner. Dirty, filthy, no good sinner. Paul said we're dead in sins and trespasses. Man is a sinner. We talked about that. Adam is the federal head. And you know what? We're sinners. Every person that is born that we come in contact with has a sin nature. As I was telling the guy that works with me, I said, the problem is people are born wrong. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Two births. There's a natural birth, there's a spiritual birth. We must be born again. It was asked of George Whitefield, he was a Congregational Methodist. They said, "Mr. Whitefield, why do you preach so much on you must be born again?" He said, "Because you must be born again." We have got away from that in our churches. Amen. I want to tell you, to be saved, it takes the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. No man can come unto the Father except he be drawn. There has to be conviction. There has to be conviction. I'm sorry, I have had people tell me about their salvation experience. I had one tell me this, that he was in a shop working and they had some men there with zeal. And I thank God for men with zeal. But zeal is no good without knowledge. And they were witnessing to him every day. Every day. Just like clockwork. Boom, 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 boom. And here's what he told me, Brian, this out of his mouth. He said, one of my co-workers come up to me and said, "Aren't you tired of that?" He said, "Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. That's all I hear. I'm getting where I hate to come to work because I know I got to deal with them." He said, "Here's what you do. You just do what they say do. And then after you do that, they'll leave you alone." And I asked him, I said, Jeff, I asked him, I said, what'd you do? He said, I done what that guy said. Anytime they say, I gave them all the right answers. I said, and what happened? He said, well, that guy was right. They left me alone after that. I think the greatest mission field in America today is the local church. We got to get back to the new birth. That scriptural thing that has been taken away. Years ago when we started, we was in the old building then. By the way, I wish it was still up. And I run into the neighbor's kid. He was a teenager. And I asked him about his soul. He told me he was fine. He attended church. And I asked him, I said, has there ever been a time when you was born again? And here's what he told me. He said, oh, you're too deep for me. He said, I only been going to church for 3 years. We ain't got that far yet. How in the world could you attend church for 3 years and never hear about the new birth? There's not one person in this building now that does not profess Christ. And I'm going to tell you, as long as I'm the pastor, you're going to hear about a new birth. You're going to hear about a new birth because you must be born again. And I'm going to tell you, those that have been born again, do not get tired of hearing about it. Amen. They don't get tired of hearing about the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, our churches, the collapse of fundamentals, we got away from the doctrine of the new birth. You must be born again. By the way, when a person gets born again, they don't have a stamp on their forehead that says saved. We don't know who's saved and who's not. There's people we believe is saved. There's people we hope is saved, but the only person that you know is saved is you. I hope my wife's saved. Sometimes she acts like it, sometimes she don't. She hopes I'm saved. Sometimes I act like it, Jeff. Then I have my moments. Just say amen. Then we all worry about Jason. Amen. He's doing a good job teaching Sunday school. But Jason's the only one that really knows about Jason. But you must be born again. We've got to get back to that in our churches. There's nothing wrong with telling people they're sinners. There's nothing wrong with telling them about a Savior that loved them so much that He left heaven and come down to earth to bleed and die for our sins. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. The reason fundamentalism is collapsing is because we've got so few that are saved in our churches today. I've been told I'm a radical preacher. When I got saved, every preacher preached like me. Even those in different denominations. Amen. I'm serious. Some of the greatest preachers America's ever had were not Baptist. Some of the greatest revivals were not Baptist revivals. They were Congregationalists. They were Presbyterians. Billy Sunday was a Presbyterian preacher. Now, he wouldn't be allowed in their churches. But John the Baptist wouldn't be allowed in ours either. Some of the greatest men that God has ever had is not so much as a denomination, but those that held to fundamentalistic beliefs and they dealt with a new birth. Over there in that library, there is a 4-volume set of the fundamentals of the faith written in the 1800s by different preachers that took a stand against fundamentalism. In that set of books, you're going to find messages that dealt with the Bible. In the 1800s, we had the largest move of God that we had in America ever. But with the largest movement of God came the largest movement of the devil also. And the fundamentals were important to them men. They were not all Baptist. Some were Methodist. Some Presbyterians. They fought for the faith. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that's in you. I have no hope without the new birth. I have no hope. On Christ the solid rock I stand, the songwriter wrote. All other ground is sinking sand. We got to get back to the new birth. We got to get back to the new birth. If fundamentalism is going to survive, we got to have a fight for the Bible. We got to have a fight for the new birth. Amen. Second thing, the fundamentalism is built upon spreading the gospel, which is obedience to the Lord's command. They had a goal to spread the gospel. Some call it mission work. One book I had, it said this, is you're either a mission field or a mission worker. But you're called to missions. Someone's either called to you or you're called to someone else. One preacher said God had only one son. He made him a missionary. Missions. Today, missions now is nothing more than a secular work to the average church. Just a secular work. How many churches in our area have a food pantry with no visitation? As many churches as they have in this county, we ought not be able to sit in an easy chair in the afternoon without having to answer the door for somebody trying to win us to Christ. Amen. Or invite us to church. And the catch is, you can live within a very small area of a church and you'll never see the congregation. I remember years ago, we had a lady coming, and she called me. And she said, Brother Mike said, my brother just died. And I thought, well, that's bad. I'd never met her brother. She says, I need you to come. And so I left and I went, Jeff. And I got there. Her other brother was drunk already. It was in the morning time, probably 9 o'clock. He was drunk already. And he got in my face. He was angry. I was there. He said, who are you? And what are you doing here? I said, my name's Mike Ramsey. I pastor Solid Rock Baptist Church in Springville, Alabama. And Elaine wanted me to come. Literally, not exaggerating, you had to turn in a church parking lot to get to their house. And Jeff, nobody from that church showed up, and none of them there knew anybody that attended there. I'm serious.
I can take you to the church. I can show you the house. Our mission work is non-existent. Most of us don't have a job. We got plenty of time. It's not a matter of can and can't. It's a matter of will and want. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The spreading of the gospel. At one time it was said, every second three souls go into eternity. And we don't care. We do have mission works here. I wonder how often the mission works come across in our prayer time. I wonder how many of us could even name the mission works that we do. I'm not asking you to pronounce the pastors of the African churches. I don't even know if they can pronounce their own name. They sure spelt weird. Amen. But we can still pray for them. We can still give that they can go. We've got away from mission work. Today it's social work. Let's feed the hungry. Amen. And I'm not against giving people food. I want to say that we've lost that emphasis because we've got away from God. That is a collapse of fundamentalism. You see, when a church ceases to evangelize, then they will fossilize. And our churches are dying out because nobody's trying to win them. Look, today it's hard to get people to even come to church. Much less go out and visit. The collapse has been brought by the lack of preaching on the new birth and the lack of mission work, and our churches has lost its interest in evangelism. Churches used to have prayer meetings, visitation programs, preaching outreaches. Now we have nothing. People's not interested. Amen. At one time, this church, prayer meeting, at one time, we had pretty good crowds here. We quit having it because nobody came. Had nothing to pray for. Amen. Roloff said the reason people quit coming to prayer meeting because they knew their prayers wasn't going to get answered anyhow. Had the nursing home ministry. And we always enjoyed that. But you see, we do good at starting, but we don't do good at finishing. One time we've had visitation. Them days has come to pass. And now we're losing 1,000 churches a year. A year. According to what I read. Christian parents are more concerned with their children going to a secular school than they are going into ministry. If you do have a youth group today in America, it's all about playing and not praying. Amen. Every church has a gym, but they don't use it for spiritual reasons. I don't know if a church ought to have a gym if they don't have a Christian school. We're talking about the collapse of fundamentalism. And my question to you in the closing out, is it because we do not care, or is it because our love for Christ is cold and indifferent? I know as for me, I've been struggling with me. I want to see the touch of God. Here's the way I've been praying. God, I want you to use me. I just don't know if I want it to cost me as much as it's going to cost in order to use me. I don't know how far I'd go, Jeff, to see God do something great in our society. I want to ask you, how far would you go? Church as we know it, the old time way, is passing off the scene. Not because it doesn't work, because it's the only one that does work. I think it's because we don't want it enough. The old time way. So in 15 years, most of us are going to be gone. What's going to happen in your spiritual life? For others in here, what about your grandkids? It's a serious matter. And I'm not talking about a long time off. 15 years, man, you turn your head and it's there now. I mean, you look one day and you're changing diapers, the next day you're preparing for graduation. Brother Randy, your grandkids, what are they going to have? And 10, 15, and Samantha, which is just a baby. What's America going to be like for her? It is time for us to get serious about this issue. 1,000 churches a year closing their doors. I promise you there's not as many churches starting as they are closing. Now we think about that. In 10 years, Brian, that's 10,000 churches. At the rate we're going now, and we're increasingly seeing a society that doesn't want church. It's only going to get higher, quicker, unless my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and will heal their land. then. It is built upon conditions. Now, I preach what God laid on my heart. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? It's a good question, isn't it? There's probably not one person in here that doesn't say, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, I better get serious about my prayer life. How much longer are we going to be here? I better get serious. I better get a burden for my family. I better get a burden for my grandkids. This thing's winding down. And we need God. We need God to come down and show Himself. We need Him more than we need them. That's our challenge. If not, we're going to see a one world church. It's coming. There's nothing we can do to stop it. But we can still have the old time way. In a culture that's gone mad. Now here's what I hear. You got to learn how to deal with the culture. Got to learn how. No, let the culture grow up and take responsibility and do what they're supposed to do. Change the culture. You probably never heard that, have you? Probably all your meetings. Well, you got to learn how to deal with people. What, some people you can't deal with. Huh? The problem's not us, the problem is the culture. And now that culture has been brought into the church. And the church is dying out. Father, I preach what you laid on my heart, I can do no more. I ask that you would have your way in my life and my heart. Help me to get a burden that would please you. I pray your will be done. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.